Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the fourth chapter of Hilchos Machlos Asuros. In this parak, Rambam will discuss certain key prohibitions regarding non-slaughtered animals, such as nevela and treifa, as well as how certain prohibitions are able to combine to create the requisite shear in which one can receive lashes. Halacha Aleph. Ha'ochel k'zayis b'tzar pehima shemesa, ochaya shemesa, o'ov shemes, loka, shenemar, lo'sohlu kol nevela. If one consumes an olive-sized portion of meat from an animal which had died, whether domesticated or undomesticated, or a bird which had died, then one receives lashes. As the pasuk says, you shall not consume any carcass. And in this context, anything which has not been slaughtered in the course of halacha qualifies as a carcass and thus has the prohibition of nevela. Upcoming to the Mishnah Torah, I will explain precisely what qualifies as a proper slaughter. Halacha Beis. Ein asur mishum nevela, elaminim tohorim bilvad, emnei she'ein ruin l'shchita. V'mishchatu shchita k'shera, yu mutar v'achila. Alaminim t'meyen. The only things which are forbidden because of this special prohibition of nevela are species which themselves are kosher and thus could have been made permitted if they had been slaughtered in a proper fashion. But with regards to species which are non-kosher, whether one has slaughtered it in accordance with the regular halachic fashion, or even if one has not, even if one has simply cut off a piece of their meat while they are alive and consumed it, one will not receive lashes for the specific prohibitions of nevela or treifa, which we will discuss and define soon. Rather, one will simply receive the lashes because they have violated the prohibition of eating non-kosher meat. Halacha Gimel. Ha'ochel ov tar chai kol shenu loke mishum ochel nevela v'aval pish em bokzayis ho'ov achalov kula. If one consumes a live kosher bird of any size, and he will receive lashes for having consumed a nevela, even though it did not have the size of an olive to it, since he ate it in its entirety. However, if he consumed it after it died, so then it will only qualify as a nevela if it had the size of an olive to it. Even though it does not have an olive-sized piece of meat on it, as a whole, if it is still the size of an olive, so then he will be liable for having eaten a nevela. Halacha Dalet. Ha'ochel k'zayis b'tzar nefil behema tohora loke mishum ochel nevela. If one consumes an olive-sized portion of meat from a stillborn kosher species of animal, then one receives lashes for having consumed a nevela. V'asur la'achol mem behema shenolda ad leil shemini shekol shelosh sha'a shmona yamim behema harizek nevela. It's also forbidden for one to consume meat from an animal which has not yet reached the eighth day of life, because in that case, as long as it hasn't reached that time, it is still considered like a stillborn baby. V'ein lokin love. However, if one consumed that type of meat, well, one will not receive lashes for that. V'im no delosha kalu lo chadasha bebetan v'achar kach nolad shehein tisha chadasha lebehema gasa v'chamisha ledaka ha'izak lutra b'yom shenolad. If, however, one was certain that it had been born after the proper gestation period inside of its mother, for example, if it had been there by a large animal for 9 months, or for a smaller animal for 5 months, in that circumstance, it is permitted to eat even on the day that it was born. The placenta, which comes out along with the baby, is forbidden for a person to eat. However, if one ate it, they will not receive lashes, because it's not halachically defined as meat. If one consumes an olive-sized portion of meat from an animal, whether domesticated or undomesticated, or a bird of kosher species that had received a mortal wound, then in that circumstance, one receives lashes for a different prohibition, the prohibition of consuming a treifa. The pasuk says one should not eat meat from an animal that had been mortally wounded out in the field. Instead, it should be thrown to the dogs. When the Torah refers to an animal that has this type of mortal wound, it refers to one that had been torn up by one of the wild creatures of the forest, such as a lion or a leopard or the like. And with regards to a bird that had been torn, we refer to one that had been attacked by some other bird of prey or the like. We cannot refer to the fact that it had attacked it and it killed it, because in that circumstance, if it was already dead, it would be defined halachically as nevela. And rationally, what would be the difference between one that had died on its own versus one that was killed by the sword or attacked by a lion and died in that circumstance? Rather, the pasuk is referring to one that had been attacked, had been mortally wounded and was mauled, but had not yet died. Halfazai, and my traitor Shlomo Beis Asura, Yachl im Bazae Vigar Hagdi Viraglo Baznavo, Abazno, Varada, Adam, and Tilami Piv, Yer Asr, Jerry Nitraf. If that is the case, then an animal which is mortally wounded should be forbidden for one to eat. So then maybe we would think to say an animal which had been dragged away, a little goat that had been dragged away by a wolf or a lion, by its foot or its tail or its ear, and then another person comes and rescues it from this beast. In that circumstance, perhaps it would be forbidden as well. So the Torah teaches us, Tam lomar, basar basar de trefa, lakele tashlichon osa, anche asa osa basar harui lakele. It is only forbidden once it has reached the point where it is meat which is fit only for dogs. Halamata shatrifa morvatora, he should tarp osa chayas ayar, beshabro osa, benatal mus, badayan lomesa. We see what emerges from this is that when the Torah refers to the prohibition of a trefa, it's talking about an animal which had been attacked, mauled by an animal, a wild beast of the forest, and had been broken to the point where it's leaning towards death, but has not yet actually died. Even though you tried to preempt it and you slaughtered before it died, it's nonetheless forbidden as a trefa, since it is impossible for it to survive the wound it has already received. What emerges, therefore, is the Torah forbade an animal which died without a proper halachic shechita, and that's referred to as a nevela, and it is also forbidden an animal which was on its way towards death because of some mortal wound, but it has not yet died, and that is referred to as a trefa. And just as the Torah did not distinguish between an animal which had died, whether all on its own, whether it had fallen and died, whether it had been strangled, whether it had been trampled by a wild beast and had been killed, so too we should not distinguish between one which is on its way towards death, whether it had been attacked by an animal and therefore was mortally wounded, whether it had fallen from a roof and broke most of its ribs, whether it had fallen and had its limbs crushed, whether somebody had shot an arrow in it and pierced its heart or its lung, whether it had some sickness that had come about and caused a puncture in its heart or its lung, or most of its ribs had been broken in some other fashion or the like. Once it is leaning towards its death, that's the direction it seems to be going in, then it is defined as a trefa. Whether or not the catalyst was something which was done by flesh and blood, or whether something that was heaven sent. If that's the case, why does the Torah refer to it as a trefa, one that had been torn apart? The Rambam explains, the Torah is just talking about the normal case. An animal will likely be mortally wounded by some beast of prey rather than just through some accident. Because if you don't say that, then the only animal that would be forbidden would be one that was torn apart in the field, but not one that was torn apart even in one's courtyard, since the pasuk specified a field. Thus, you see, you can't speak so literally. Rather, it's talking about the normal case, which happens out in the field and is where it's attacked by some animal. Overall, therefore, the pasuk intends to teach us that an animal which is on its way towards death because of a wound and it's impossible for it to continue to survive, this is something which is forbidden to eat. As was stated by Chazal, the general rule, therefore, is anything which in its situation, its condition, is not going to live, that is defined halachically as a trefa. Later in the Mishtora, the Rambam will explain exactly which conditions cause an animal to be expected to be a trefa, and which ones are not going to make it a trefa. Similarly, if one cuts off meat from a living kosher animal and consumes that meat is defined as a trefa, and if he eats it, he will receive lashes for eating a trefa. Because this meat came from an animal which hadn't been slaughtered, nor had it died. And ultimately, what is the difference between one which was torn up by an animal and one that was torn by a knife? What's the difference between all of it or just part of it? Omer, basar basada trefa lo sochelu. Basar basada, trefa. kolam nachmas shetoshish kocha, but not the lomos. Ho ablo era makab Abram Abarao, simosa, harej mutaris. If an animal is sick simply because it's gotten weak and is therefore on its way towards death, it is still permitted. It's not defined as a treifa. Because since it didn't suffer any mortal wound in one of its limbs or one of its organs which would cause it to die, then it's still permitted. Shalomas retor el ka'ein treifas chayas hayar, shari asa b'makam misosa. Because the Torah only forbade an animal which had been wounded in a way which was similar to being attacked, to being mauled by an animal out in the field. Halacha Yud Beis. Afal pi shei mutaris. Nonetheless, even though such an animal is permitted, gedolei chacham lo hayu ochlim behemash ma'arin v'shochet enosa kedei shelo tamas, afal pi shei perkasav sof shechita. The greatest of the sages would not eat from an animal which people were quickly rushing to slaughter in a halachic fashion in order so that it not die first and lose out on it. And this is even if, after it's been slaughtered, it still convulses in the normal fashion. Whatever is that, ain't bo iser. This is not something which is forbidden. Al kol rotz lahachmir la'atam, whatever is that, harizim shuvah. However, anybody who chooses, who desires to be stringent in this area, is considered praiseworthy. Halach yud gimel. Hashovi behem achai ba'ov, v'lo yatsa behen dam, harizim mutarin, beinom shem meisim hayu. If one slaughters an animal and no blood comes forth, one does not have to worry that maybe it was already dead, even though blood didn't come forth. Rather, it is still permitted. Similarly, if one slaughtered a regularly healthy animal, and nonetheless, upon its death, it did not convulse as they normally would, it is still permitted. If However, with regards to an animal which seems to be deathly ill, to the point where it can't even stand up when you prop it up, even if it is eating normally, as if it seems like a healthy animal, if you slaughter it and it does not convulse at all, in that circumstance it's defined as a nevela and will receive lashes for eating it. However, if it does convulse upon death, then it is a permitted animal. This is assuming that this convulsing occurs towards the end of the process. However, if it only convulses in the beginning of the slaughter, then that does not help and it is still forbidden. Halacha Yud Dalet. Ketzad hu apirkos. What does it mean for an animal to convulse, as was just described? Ve'hem adaka v'chaya gasa v'daka ve'en shepashta yada ve'achzira o shepashta ragla alfa pishala achzira o shekafa ragla bovad harizad pirkos umutter. With regards to a small domesticated animal, or a small or large non-domesticated animal, so the idea is that if it sticks out its foreleg and then pulls it back in, or it stuck out its back leg even though it didn't pull it back, or even if it just simply bent it, that's considered a convulsion, and therefore the animal is permitted. If the animal simply sticks out its foreleg but does not pull it back in, then that's forbidden, because that is simply a motion created by the soul of the animal leaving. With regards to a larger domesticated animal, then whether it sticks forward one of its forelegs or one of its back legs, whether it bent it or had stretched it out one way or the other, then that is considered a convulsion and it's permitted. If, though, it does not stick forth any of its legs, nor does it even bend them, in that case it's defined as a nevela. With regard to an animal, even if it only blinked its eyes or moved about its tail, so then that's considered a convulsion and is permitted. If one slaughters an animal which was deathly ill in the evening where it's dark, and he doesn't know, therefore, whether it had this convulsion, in that circumstance, it is forbidden because it's possible that it was a nevela. Halacha Tes Zayin. Kol Yisurin Shebetorah, Emer Tarkim Zeh, Zeh, Chotz Miyisurin Nazar, Moshe's Bar Hashem. All the different prohibitions in the Torah are not able to combine together these different substances, other than with regards to the items which are prohibited to a Nazirite, as will be explained later in Mishnah Torah. Lafikach, Halakeach Ma'at Chilef, Ma'at Da, Ma'at Basar Behemah Tameh, Ma'at Basar Nevela, Ma'at Basar Dag Tameh, Ma'at Basar Ov Tameh, Kiyotzi Be'elu, Mishar HaYisurin, Etzeir Fmenah Kol, Kizayis, Bachalav, Eino Loke, Bedino, Kedin, Ochel, Chatzi, Shir. Accordingly, if one takes a little bit of forbidden fats or blood or meat of a non-kosher animal or a carcass or a non-kosher fish or a non-kosher bird or the like, and together these combine to an olive-sized portion of food, and then he consumes it. In that circumstance, he will not receive lashes, however it was forbidden, and says if he had eaten less than the requisite amount with regards to each of them. Halach Yudzai. Kol Nevelas and Starfel Zuomzu. However, all different animals defined as a halachic nevela are able to join together. Nevela mistarefes have treifa. Furthermore, an animal which is defined as a nevela is able to join together, again, in terms of creating the requisite shear, with a treifa. V'chenko behema v'chayot meyem mistarefes zazeh. So too similarly, all different non-kosher domesticated and undomesticated creatures are able to join together. Al basar nevela in basar behema tamea emesarfen. However, with regards to the flesh of a nevela, with the flesh of a non-kosher species of animal, as we've seen, a nevela is only a kosher species of animal which hadn't been slaughtered properly. So those two are not able to join together. Okay, Tzav the Rambam now illustrates. Halkeach menivelas shor, menivelas atzvi, menivelas atarnagol, v'kiveis menat kol k'zayis basar v'achalo loka. If somebody took from the carcass of an ox, of a deer, and of a chicken, and joined those together, those are all kosher animals. They hadn't been ritually slaughtered, and they together combine for the olive-sized portion, and one consumes that, then he will receive lashes. Those are all nevelos. V'chenem kiveis chatzis ayis menivelas behema torah, v'chatzis ayis menat treifa, v'chatzis ayis menasar nevela, v'chatzis ayis menasar menachai, menat torah, v'achalo loka. Similarly, if one gathers together part of an olive size of meat from the carcass of a kosher domesticated animal, as well as part of one from a treifa animal, or the same idea with regards to from a nevela and from a piece of meat which had been cut from a living animal, and then eats those together, if together they equal the size of an olive, then he will receive lashes. Similarly, if one took from various non-kosher animals, a camel, a pig, a hare, and the like, and combined them together to create an olive-sized piece of meat, and eats it, then he will receive lashes. However, he took a little bit of nevela from an ox, and a little bit of meat from a camel, those will not join together. And so too with everything similar. Similarly, with regards to a non-kosher animal, non-kosher bird, non-kosher fish, those do not join together. Because ultimately, they are two different statuses. Because each of them has their own separate prohibition, as the Rambam has already explained. However, with regards to different species of non-kosher birds, those do join together, just as different species of non-kosher animals, whether domesticated or undomesticated, can combine. The general principle is that anything which shares the same negative prohibition, those are able to join together. If they're from two separate prohibitions, then they do not join together. The exception to that is a nevela and treifa, which are able to join together because a treifa is just another way of something being on its way towards a nevela. Halacha Yudches. Ha'ochem nevelu treifa, o behema v'chaya tmeya mina or mina tzamos, mina kidin, mina karnayim, mina tlafayim, mina tzapernayim, shal of mimakomo shim mibats beit misham hadam, kishi yachatchu, mina shilya shahen, apa pishu, aser, ha'i zed pater, mina shi elu inam ruin la'achila, mina tzarfin na basur k'zayks. If a person eats from either the hide or the bones, the snoots, the horns, the hoofs of a nevela or treifa, or a non-kosher domesticated or undomesticated animal, from the claws of a non-kosher bird in the place where blood would spurt out if they were cut off, or from the placenta, although these are not allowed to be eaten, if one does eat from them, they are not going to be liable for lashes. And the rationale is because these are things which are not really fit for being eaten, and thus they cannot join together as well to create the requisite shear of an olive-sized portion of meat to make one liable. Healthy good test. Kevas anevela v'kevas tamea uteres, v'nei she'i kishar t'novas rugot. With regards to milk found in the stomach of a nevela, or a non-kosher animal, that is permitted to be eaten, because that's just like any other waste product that might be inside of the body. L'fikach mutra l'hamin agavina v'kevas shchidas ovikavim v'kevas mehema v'chaya tamea. Accordingly, it is permitted to have cheese solidify using some of these enzymes found inside of the stomach of an animal which had been slaughtered by a non-Jew, and an animal which was from a non-kosher species. However, the skin of the stomach, in contrast, is just like any other of the internal organs, and therefore is forbidden. The placenta of a donkey is permitted to be eaten because it too is just like the waste products of the animal's body and are permitted. Yesh or shein kabasar ba ochel mehen kzayis ko ochel menabasar. Hu kashi ochel oson kishein rachin. However, there is some skin which is considered like meat, and therefore if you eat an olive-sized portion of one, and this is if you ate an olive-sized portion of meat, and if they are soft, one will receive lashes for that. Halacha kaf aleph. Be'elu she'rosehen kibsar. Now the following are those which their skin are like their meat. Or ha'adam. Vorach ha'azer shel yishuv. Vorach ha'toteres shel gamal. Shelo tanu alav ma'asa me'olam. Lo yigil ma'asa. Shadai iraka. Or beis ha'boshes. Or shetachas alia. Or ha'shalil. Or ha'naka. Ba'koch. Ba'alta. Ba'chomet. So the skins are skin of a human, skin of a pig which has been domesticated, the skin on a camel's hump which has never had a load placed on it, and it hasn't yet reached the age to thereby serve as one which will carry loads. And the point is, therefore, it still counts as soft and therefore will count as meat. The skin from the genital area of an animal, skin which is beneath its tail, skin of a fetus, skin of various other type of animals, which, again, it's hard to quite define, different types of lizards or snails, perhaps. Kol elu ha'oros kishein rakos harihein kibasar l'chol davar bein l'ezer achila bein l'tama. Now, with regard to all these different skins, so they are considered like meat, with regards to whether it's prohibited to have them, and also with regards to whether or not they will impart ritual impurity. Halach chaf beis. Now, b'shor ha'niskal b'lo yachal es b'sara. With regards to an ox which is condemned to being stoned, for a variety of different reasons why that might have occurred, then the pasuk says, one shall not eat its meat. But why does the Torah need to go out of its way to tell us you shall not eat its meat? If it's going to be stoned, so in that circumstance, it hasn't been ritually slaughtered, and therefore is nevela anyhow. Rather, the Rambam explains, the Torah is coming to teach us that once it was condemned to be stoned, it's already made forbidden, and is therefore treated like a non-kosher animal. If one nonetheless tried to preempt the stoning and slaughtered it in the correct, ritually proper, halachic fashion, then it still remains forbidden, and it's forbidden to benefit from. And if one consumed a olive size of its meat, then one will receive lashes. And similarly, once it's been stoned, you're not allowed to sell it, you cannot give it to dogs even, you cannot give it to a non-Jew. That's where the Pasuk says, it shall not be eaten at all. It phrased it in that way on purpose. With regards to the excrement, the waste products of an ox which had been condemned to being stoned, that is permitted to benefit from. If it is discovered that it actually did not deserve to be stoned after it had already been sentenced to be stoned. For example, if its witnesses had been proven to be false, the ones who had said that it deserved to be stoned, in that circumstance, it's allowed to go out and graze regularly with its herd. And if you only discover this after it had already actually been stoned, so then the meat is now permitted to benefit from. Have a wonderful day.